Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern here outside of Bridgestone Arena ahead of game number 3, Preds and Canes tonight. Special start time, 6 o'clock. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me say this. I thought John Hines today had a press conference today. I thought John Hines was very cordial today with the media.
It was
almost like he went out of his way, especially on Joe Rexroad and Steve Lehman's question after kind of being a little terse the other night, which, again, he can do whatever he wants. I don't care. But I thought he went out of his way to be at least a little cordial. But I guess I went first today, and I'm sure I wasn't going to be the only person that asked about the power play. But, again, the power play 0-7. In game number 2, not only is it 0-7 in game number 2, the really good Carolina Hurricanes penalty kill, which already had a lot of confidence, has a lot more confidence after what happened in game number 2. And I don't think the Predators, when you're an underdog, I don't think you can win this kind of series if you don't produce on the power play. So I asked John Hines today about that power play and what changes perhaps they were making or adjustments. Here's what John Hines said.
Hey, John, obviously power play was an issue in game 2. I'm sure you guys met a lot about that, watched a lot of video yesterday, probably worked on it today. Kind of what is the plan for fixing that going into game 3 tonight?
Well, one, we're going to have some adjustments to the power play personnel-wise. So we've made a few changes in that way and different positions of where guys will be and then some different guys on the power play. So that's where we started. And then we really looked at our break-ins. You know, have to have a couple adjustments on our power play break-in where we could possibly get in with more possession or more speed, so we can establish the offensive zone in that area. And then we've got to do a better job, you know, of just understanding, you know, where their pressure is coming from, how it comes, and then what are the release points that we need to be able to have to break the pressure. So I think that combination, you know, we did spend a lot of time on it, and so. I think that should give us a better opportunity here tonight to rectify what happened the other night.
Ian, is that answer satisfactory for you? Do you think they fixed the power play?
I find it hard to believe that it's going to just go from 0 to 60 like that. It's going to be some type of an adjustment, I would think. But any baby steps to baby steps, they could be 1 of 5 tonight. If something like that happens, it's better than 0 of 7.
So here's my theory. And, you know, I love theories.
Theories are great.
I think he's changing, like, one or two little things personnel-wise. They're going to try to enter the... Everything that they're going to try to do is about entering the zone against that 1-3 look. That's what it's going to be. So, on that 1-3 look, where as soon as you come to the blue line, you're met immediately by the top penalty killer that they've got, and then everybody else swarms around... I think that for their every time they enter the zone, it's going to be one pass, another pass. One pass, one pass.
As long as it's not that drop pass in the middle of the neutral zone coming in on the power play.
Well, wasn't that Laviolette's thing?
I'm not a huge fan of the drop pass.
I think it was Laviolette who was all about the drop pass.
I've seen him do it a few times recently. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of that. Gaining momentum. Getting to the blue line and then looking for that trailer to come kind of shooting through, you know? I'm not a huge fan of that, but, you know, what do I know?
I just have such a hard time with the idea that before Ian's daughter was born. Ian, how old is your daughter right now?
She will be 2 next month.
Okay. That they've had power play problems for 6 months before Ian's daughter was born. And since then, they've changed the coach. They've changed the players. They added new players then and it didn't work. Then all of a sudden that now, hey, we're going to change the way that we enter the zone and we're going to change some players. I have a hard time believing. I look at the Predators' power play and it reminds me a lot of the Titans' pass rush. The Titans haven't had a good pass rush since they had Albert Haynesworth and Kyle Vandenbosch. I was a freshman in college when they had those two guys. And so then if you don't draft anybody, you don't sign anybody other than, you know, Clowney. You don't do any of that, you're not going to have a better pass rush. And they can try whatever they want. At least Hines admits they have a problem. Vrabel would never admit that they have a problem. I mean, I put together personnel groupings in my head, and I don't even love it. Like, here's what I put together. Again, he says they're going to change the personnel on the power play. So I got my first unit. I think it's going to be Forsberg, Tolvanen, Johansson, Yarncroke, and Josi.
Taking Granlund off?
I am taking Granlund off.
Okay.
You got to change somebody. I mean, does Cali Yarncroke up on the first power play unit make a difference?
No.
Like, the kind of difference to beat that team?
Probably not.
Okay.
Especially if he's going to be in Granlund's spot, which is just kind of camped in front of the net.
Would you put Duchesne up on that first group and drop Johansson off? Like what do you do?
That, I mean, it's a tough question. I would honestly consider putting Duchesne on the top power play unit because he needs some space to work. You know, he does well. He said his most explosive and his most dangerous when there's a little bit of extra space out there. And so I would consider moving him to the top power play unit. Aren't you supposed to just put all your top players on the first power play unit because they play the most and then just put together a second power play?
Yeah, but he doesn't trust Duchesne like that.
I mean, I guess he did have that bad backhanded pass that led to the breakaway.
That was a bad one.
And that was on the power play. So I would still consider putting Duchesne up there. I'm not sure who I would move down, though, to be honest. Either Tolvanen or Johansson, probably.
If you're going to move Tolvanen down, there's no reason for him to be in the game.
You don't think?
No, I mean, that's what Tolvanen gives you, is that power play. And I even thought, looking back at the power plays, I thought Tolvanen was at his best. As weird as this is going to sound, I thought he actually played okay on those power plays. Like, I know that people are going to be like, I think Crispy today was like, he didn't have a single shot. I'm like, first of all, he did have one shot. Pesci blocked it, and it went all the way up into the air. And, I mean, everybody was like, where did that puck go? Because he shot it so hard. Yeah, he had a cross-ice pass to Duchesne. Duchesne couldn't get tape on. I mean, if Duchesne can't get his tape on it or Duchesne has to double-clutch it, then Duchesne shouldn't be in the NHL.
That's one thing I kind of would like to see that they don't necessarily do on the Preds power play that you see from other power play units is the ability for those wingers to accept the one-time pass. They have Tolvanen, the lefty, on the opposite side and Forsberg, the right shot, on his strong side. So when you see, like, for example, like Tampa Bay, they have those right and left-handed, they have them switched. So when you pass it over to Stamkos, he's there for the one-timer. When you pass it over to Kucherov, he's there for the one-timer. And Kucherov on the left side there, or on his off-wing, I guess, on the right side, has the ability to one-time it or pass to the bumper position.
You know what, though? They're letting you shoot that one-timer, though. And I know that Duchesne didn't – I mean, Duchesne would have had a look the other night, and he didn't take it. He double-clutched. But they're letting you take that. Like, they pack it in so well, Carolina does,
mm-hmm.
that, like, Tolvanen got it on the half wall at one point, and he ended up making a nice play. Granlund wasn't ready for the pass, but they were daring him to shoot. And I think it's because they're willing to block any shot. So they're just getting close to the net, and just every single guy there is just, we're going to block this shot. And the Predators have nobody to bump everybody out of the way. And they had it for a second with Brian Boyle, but it never really became a thing a couple of years ago. And they're not great. Johansson tries to get in front of the net and make a difference. He's got a big enough body, but I don't know. I will say this, though. If they score on the power play early tonight, that will be a huge, huge shot of confidence for the Predators. Corey Curtis going to join us news, too. His thoughts on this series, his thoughts on game number 3, his thoughts on the Predators. And again, is this it for this group? The Johanssons, the Duchesnes, the Arvidssons, the Dumore crew. Is this it? Corey Curtis, news 2, will join us next. Stillman & Company, Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We're live from Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. We'll also be giving away Kings of Leon tickets later today, so be listening for your opportunity to win that. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we are live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, Bridgestone Arena. Hey, Smashville, The Game, and Dos Equis is bringing the party to you. Text the word GOLDEN to 615-737-1025 to qualify for the ultimate in-home watch party. And did I mention one lucky fan is getting tickets to a playoff game at Bridgestone Arena? Get a dose. Smashville must be 21 and older to win. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us now on the program on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, can the Predators, I think the Predators are going to win tonight. I've said that. I think they're going to win. I still don't know if they can play with the Carolina Hurricanes. I do not know if they can make it a series. How big is the gap between the two teams, and how hard do you think it will be for the Predators to get themselves back on competitive footing with Carolina?
Well, I mean, look, I've tried to spell this out for people as plainly as I can. Number one, Carolina did exactly what they were supposed to do, hold serve at home, all right? That's what they're supposed to do. They're the top seed. They're the division champion. They're a Stanley Cup favorite. They're one of the favorites. They're supposed to win those two games at home. There are probably 80% of the teams in the league would have gone to Carolina and dropped those two games. You know why? Because Carolina's lost three games in regulation at home the entire year. Now, that doesn't completely excuse everything for the present. I'm not making excuses for them. But it is acknowledging this is an elite team in the National Hockey League. They've got really, really good players. I mean, their first two lines are significant, okay? And they're better than the Preds' first two lines. You know, how big is the gap? I can't quantify that for you other than to say when the Preds beat them at home on that Saturday night game 3-1 that got them into the playoffs, they played maybe their finest game of the season, all right? That's the way they got to play. They've got to be darn near perfect to beat this team. You know, being at home, you know, it's going to help. It's going to give them some juice. It's going to give them some energy. And they've got to be better. They've got to put more pressure on the goalie. You know, that's for sure. Do I think they can win? Sure. But, you know, like I said, this is an elite team in the league. And I'm not excusing losing. I'm just saying a lot of teams are going to lose to Carolina.
Do you believe that the Predators have another level that they can play at that they haven't so far in this series?
Yeah, I do. I think they can play better. You know, look, Carolina has completely quashed them out on the power play. They've got to come up with a way to get the puck into the zone and get it going. They've given up a couple of goals, not a lot, you know, that were, you know, suspect, you know, where they were kind of standing around watching. But, I mean, look, both these games have been, you know, kind of where the Preds needed to be. You know, tied going into the third period and 1-0 until there was 1 minute left. But they've got to find a way to get more pressure on the goalie and to get some pucks on the net. And I think John Hines is right, you know, and we've talked about this for years, Jared. The Preds players have to be the Preds best players, okay? And so far in this series, the Preds' best players haven't really been the best players. They got to step up. They got to be the guys. I know they have more game, and they've got to show it.
Do you think that, and I have this theory that I think they're going to win tonight, but if they lose tonight, I think they get bounced in four. If they get bounced in four, I think David Poile has no choice but to really move on from the crux of the 2017 team. Like, Pekka is probably not coming back, but Johansson, Ellis, Arvidsson, you name it, I think they could be on the move. And I think there could be other moves too, Duchesne, Fabro, others that could really tear apart what we thought this team was going to be. Do you think that Poile will make that move if this team is not competitive in the two games at home?
Well, I mean, look, number one, I think they've been competitive in the two games in Carolina. All right, like I said, those games both went to the third period. Was Carolina the better team? Yes, they were. But do we say the Preds played hard, they competed, they were physical? Yes, we do. And those weren't things we said about this Predator team necessarily when the season started. So I think that there is a distinctive difference there. Look, whether they win these two games here at home or not, I think that there are some pretty large changes that need to be made to this hockey team involving several of those players. And I think some of those changes are destined to happen regardless if the Predators win these two games or even move on from this series or not. You know, you've got some players who are making a lot of money who I know some guy who repeatedly says aren't paying what they owe on a regular basis. You know, if they step up and they play well for three games, that's not enough. They've got to be those players all the time, and they're not. And so you've got to find guys who are going to be those players all the time. So I think regardless, Jared, they've got to make changes.
By the way, Pay What You Owe was so last year, Corey Curtis. I mean,
okay,
it's now the Do More crew.
Do More? Okay. Do More.
The Do More crew.
Regularly.
Because there's now, it's not just one guy. I will argue.
No, it's not.
I will argue this. I don't get too caught into the discussion about, hey, they've played Carolina pretty well 5-on-5, and they've not. For some reason, that was the narrative that John Hines started after the game was over. I watched the neutral broadcast on CNBC. I did not hear A.J. Molesko at any point talk about how the Predators did pretty well tonight, and then all of a sudden, John Hines says that after the post-game press conference. Now I got the local TV, you know, post-game show saying that, hey, they played great 5-on-5. And then I heard a lot of that sentiment yesterday. I'm not buying that. I mean, I asked you if they've got another gear to play at. I think that they really have to play a lot better, because I think right now Carolina is really taking it to them, and I think the Predators are backing down a little bit, and I didn't like that in game two.
Do I think that, you know, 5-on-5 they've been great? No, because they don't have the goals to show for it. But as I've said, I think they've competed, but they've got to be faster, and they've got to make more happen. They've got to be, like I said, they've got to be faster. They've got to be stronger with the puck. They've got to get more time in the offensive zone. I mean, when Carolina gets going, they are moving, you know, not two times faster than the Preds. They're moving like five times faster than the Preds. I mean, they are cranked up and moving. They are moving that puck. I think the Preds will be better at home because of the home crowd and the energy of Bridgestone Arena. Is it going to be enough? I don't know. But, you know, Carolina's a tough place to play. Like I said, they've lost three games there all year. And that's not just to Nashville. That's to Tampa, to Florida, to Dallas, to all those teams. So I give the Hurricanes some credit. And like I keep saying, they're an elite team, and the Preds are not an elite team, and I think we all need to understand that.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest. Do you think the Predators get it done tonight?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's a flip of the coin. It really is. History says they do. It would be easy for Carolina to come in and feel, you know, okay about where they're at. So I guess if I had to say so, I would say sure. I would go with the Preds tonight, but in a coin flip.
Corey Curtis, News 2, Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week?
You know what? Like I said, they need speed. They need skill at the top. I think I would move Matt Duchene up to the front line. I'd put him up there with Forsberg and Johansson and see what happens. You know why? Because it can't be much worse. All right? They need to make something happen. And I don't know if Victor Arvidsson is healthy completely or not. I just know this. He's not the same guy that we saw 2 and 3 years ago. He doesn't have the same burst. He doesn't create the space, and he doesn't get the finish that he used to have. And so I would move him down. I would move Duchene up and see if it can create something.
I have a theory on Arvidsson, Corey, and that is that like a relief pitcher that has been used about 80 times a season for 3 straight years, I think that Arvidsson, that's a lot of pounding that little body has taken over the last 4 or 5 years. And I just think the injuries, you know, the Bortuzzo hit last year in St. Louis. I think he sustained a pretty serious injury in the final game of the Arizona bubble series. And even this year, the injury he took, I think it's caught up with him. I think that he's a reliever that just doesn't have any more gas.
You know, without that fifth gear, he's not the same guy.
Nope.
He's just not. And I like Victor Arvidsson, and I appreciate his effort, but the production is the production, and it has dropped off significantly. I equate it along the lines of what you're talking about to Marty Erat. And when Marty Erat was here, when the postseason would get here, teams would just target him and just beat on him. And I think they do the same thing to Victor Arvidsson.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, News 2 has great coverage. Corey, appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, hopefully they could take 2 and make it a 3-game series. That would be insane.
Oh, would that be nice? Oh, it would be so nice. Corey Curtis, as always, joining us on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I will say this about what Corey said about the idea of making it a three-game series. And I'm not – again, I think they're going to win tonight. I think the Predators will win tonight. It would just be nice to have a series. Like, it would be nice to have – like, because if you get to game six and you're either up 3-2 or down 3-2 or, like, that's some exhilarating, exciting hockey. It would just be nice for the Predators to make this a series. And again, then when they get there, we'll want them to win that series if they make it that. But it would just be nice for them to make it a series.
If they do make it a series and ultimately end up losing the series, do you still think that David – do you think that David Poile made the right or wrong decision at the deadline?
I think David Poile made the wrong decision. I don't
even
think,
if they win?
Even if they win this series against Carolina, win the series against Carolina, then get back to me on that.
All right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Athletic went over all the value that you would have to give up in order to get Julio Jones. What do we think of that? And do we think the Titans should do something similar? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman and Company, we're live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We'll take a Preds breather. We'll get in this Julio Jones discussion. Go to thegamenashville.com. Check out Nashville's best deals. This week it's buy one, get one free tickets to Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun, double your savings with buy one, get one admission, two parks, two tickets for the price of one. Get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Derrick Henry wants Julio Jones. That much we know yesterday.
Titan TF up.
He said Titan TF up in reference to wanting Julio Jones. Now, we had Teron Davenport on yesterday, and TD says it doesn't make a lot of sense. It has never made a lot of sense to me for the Titans to get Julio Jones. Julio is one, old, two, expensive, and three, injury prone. And I don't like old, expensive, injury prone players. Now, Julio's pretty good, and it does somewhat fit a position of need. But again, he's old, he's expensive, and he's injury prone. I don't like those three things. Now, the Athletic apparently put together trade offers for Julio Jones. So what they did was they took each beat writer that covers a certain team and said, okay, put together your offer for what your team that you cover would make for Julio Jones. For example, the 49ers offer the second-round pick in 2022 on the condition that Julio plays at least 12 games next year and one of the 49ers' 2023 third-round picks. But the 49ers would need Atlanta to take money on the Julio deal, convert it to some sort of signing bonus so that they would pay for Julio to go to San Francisco. So that's a second rounder if Julio plays 12 games and a third rounder in 2023. So a second and a third.
And I don't think that's what Atlanta wants to do, because I think the whole point of them trading Julio is to free up cap space. They have the second smallest amount of cap space left. They have, what, for about $400,000 left in their cap space?
Can't sign their rookies right now.
Right.
So the Patriots make the offer of N'Keal Harry, first round. It sounds like Harry's a bust.
Mm-hmm.
First rounder, N'Keal Harry, a conditional third rounder that will be a second rounder if Julio plays 15 games. So again, the first team and the second team are not comfortable with a second rounder for Julio Jones unless there is some sort of condition tied to the amount of games he plays. The third team is the Ravens. The Ravens beat writer offers a 2022 second round pick, a 2022 fourth round pick, and receiver Miles Boykin. The decision that the Falcons beat writer made on all of this is that they are passing on all of the offers. So they would pass on a second and a third and a player, or a second and a fourth and a player for Julio from the Ravens. I'm sorry. If they're passing on that, I have no interest in Julio Jones.
Yeah, I don't know. TD said today on, whether it was Robbie and Rex or the Midday Show, I don't remember what it was, but they said the Titans would likely have to give up a 2022 second rounder and someone else. They mentioned, who did they mention? I don't remember. I don't remember who they mentioned. But TD also mentioned Zach Ertz. And if he had to choose between acquiring Julio Jones and acquiring Zach Ertz, he preferred Zach Ertz because you don't have to give as much to give up as much to get Zach Ertz. But the con for that is that he's old and also injury prone, and you only get more injury prone the older that you get.
I don't want either guy if I have to give up anything I want in return to get him. Neither guy is that good anymore. Julio is not a second round pick for Julio Jones. Julio is old. Julio is a hurt.
Well,
you don't give up a second-round pick for that. Second-round picks are supposed to be stars in the NFL. Like, your starters, you're supposed to get starters in the third and the fourth round. You're supposed to get stars in the first and the second round. I'm not giving up a star for an old, injured, expensive wide receiver. And when I see this and I'm like, you know, conditional second-round pick, the Falcons have been lousy for the last 3 or 4 years. Is Julio still that good?
Well, I guess you have to weigh, are you planning for the future? Because if you are, then no, don't take Julio. But we also have to talk about that Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry
window.
But he's
not a going-for-it guy. A going-for-it guy is a guy who is good now. Julio is maybe good with a bunch of conditions. Like, I think if you're, to me, again.
You don't think he would instantly elevate the Titans' offense? I think he would, and I think that if you want to capitalize on that two-year window.
But he's old and he's hurt. Like, this goes back to Clowney last year, where Clowney was, you know, Clowney makes a lot of sense, except that he doesn't get a lot of sacks, he gets hurt, and he may not try all that hard, may not be a great team player. So then Clowney shows up, and he didn't want to go to training camp, because, again, he's not a great team player. You know, the whole, does he give a crap? You know, it was up there, and it was, hey, if I'm going to take a lesser deal, I'm not going to training camp now, I'll tell you what. So already that's a little bit of a question. So you have that with Clowney. Then the second element with Clowney was he got hurt. The third thing was he didn't get any sacks. The fourth thing was he's not really a team player because he had the option to either play through the knee injury or not, and he chose to not play through the knee injury. So we're sitting there. We had all these conditions on Clowney. Well, Clowney would be good if, which is why I didn't want any part of Clowney. So then they signed Clowney because everybody was looking at the whole if element of it, and instead of the here are some of the issues, and I'm presenting these issues, and then it's like, well, but don't you think Julio makes the Titans elite? Not if he's too old. Not if he's too hurt. Not if you have to give up your left tackle and the money you owe him in order to get him. He's too old. He's too hurt. He's too expensive. And you're not only that, you're committed to him for more than just this year. So I am so against Julio Jones and the Titans getting him. But now, if you told me that he'd restructure his deal, so you're only tied to Julio this year, and then once he restructures that contract, you're tied to him for this year, and you give up a fourth or a fifth to get him, then I'm okay with it. But a second, and the fact that the Athletic guy is turning down second-round picks for Julio Jones?
Second and fourth and also a player.
Hard pass. No. No.
I just think.
No on Julio Jones. What you're thinking is what Corey Curtis and Joe Rex wrote, bang the table for Clowney last year. I just think if they add Clowney, that defense that wasn't terrible in 2019 but so needed a sacker will be elevated to the next level. And then Clowney didn't go to training camp. Clowney got hurt. Clowney didn't give up sacks, and he didn't sacrifice himself for the team. He didn't do any of those things, and you got no sacks, and you didn't get to roll over that $12.5 million you spent on Clowney, which could have saved you Jonnu Smith.
Will you ever get over Clowney? Will you ever get over Clowney? I don't think so.
Because it was stupid.
Okay.
It was so stupid, and we begged on this show, don't do it. And everybody got caught up in the same thing. Everybody's getting caught up now with Julio. Now, I will say this. There is more of a chance, in my opinion, that Julio would succeed than there is that Clowney was going to succeed. But again, the ifs are still there. And in the NFL, you don't get ifs. You don't give up second-round picks for ifs. The Raiders give up second-round picks for ifs. The Jets give up second-round picks for ifs. You don't give up a second-round pick for an if. You can't do that. You can't give up that kind of capital. Now, again, the Titans are drafting guys I've never heard of in the second and third round, so maybe it doesn't matter. But you can't do that. You cannot. I mean, again, Caleb Farley. And I'd much rather draft Caleb Farley than trade for Julio Jones. But there's so many ifs associated with Caleb Farley that it's like, you don't use a first-round pick on if. But they did, so maybe they will on Julio, because they did with Clowney, they did with Beasley. And with Beasley, the if was, if he likes football and if he plays hard. Those are some big ifs, and they gave him $9.5 million. I mean, we cannot be a society of football fans who just overlook that if every time.
Look, I'm not for it. I'm just saying I understand the rationale of, okay, it would make sense. You know, Arthur Smith coming into his first year, it would make sense for him to clean house in Atlanta and trade him to his former team. It would make sense because the Titans are so desperate for a wide receiver, and they need not just a wide receiver, not just a body. They need a playmaker to capitalize
Do
on
they?
Ryan Tannehill. I think you, I mean, you feel good about Josh Reynolds just slipping into the wide receiver two spot, and that's,
yes.
that's good enough?
Yes.
I don't think that's good enough.
Yes, I do. See, I think Josh Reynolds is the perfect thing to happen to the Titans, because Josh Reynolds is going to give you Corey Davis production, maybe a little bit less. He's going to give you Corey Davis production at a much cheaper price.
Is that
price.
Our ceiling? Is Corey Davis production?
I don't need a star number two wide receiver when I have a 1,000-yard receiver and a 2,000-yard running back. I don't need a second star. I don't need to be Peyton Manning in the Indianapolis Colts with Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Edgerrin James. I don't need that. Like, would it be nice? I mean, yeah, it'd be nice. But I have to give up something in order to get what you're talking about. And then even if I give up to get what you're talking about, there's the if.
But the Titans have had a 1,000-yard wide receiver, have had a 2,000-yard running back, and they haven't been able to make it past the, but last year. They didn't make it past the first round of the playoffs.
And you know why they didn't?
So if you are sufficient with that.
You know why they didn't? Because they can't play defense. That's why. The Titans last year offense.
So you feel
was
exponentially better about the defense this year to just leave the offense how it was.
I do not feel exponentially better about the defense right now at all. I am optimistic the defense will be better under the sentiment that it can't be worse than it was last year. But to your point, I am not optimistic about the Titans defense, especially knowing who is in charge of the Titans defense. But yes. The belief right now, the way it looks, is that they pretty much have given the offense Josh Reynolds, and that's pretty much it. It's like, okay, you're going to lose Johnny Smith, you're going to lose, and, you know, you go with it. Yes. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Because I think when you have star players in sports, you need your star players to carry you, and if they can't carry you, then they're not star players, i.e. the Predators. And so to me, Derrick Henry's a star player, A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown's a star player, you're paying Tannehill a bunch of money, they got to carry the team. No handouts. No help for those guys. They're your stars. You're paying your left tackle a ton of money. Those are your stars. Those guys got to play. You're paying your left guard a ton of money. Those are your stars. So to me, I don't need to add. But then when I have to give up something, and then there's the huge if factor on Julio, I have a hard time with that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts in on that one. 615-737-1025. Again, I just, the if on Julio. And then what I got to give up? Boy, that is a lot. 615-737-1025. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline next as well. Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's give away a pair of tickets to see Kings of Leon at Ascend Amphitheater. That's right. Kings of Leon to see Ascend Amphitheater, or to see Kings of Leon at Ascend Amphitheater on Thursday, August 12th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, and you are going to see Kings of Leon at Ascend Amphitheater on Thursday, August 12th. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. That was a very Fireball Hot Take segment.
That was fun.
CSPN 1025, The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company, ESPN 1025, The Game, and T-Mobile. I don't know why I said Stillman & Company. We have nothing to do with this. But they have partnered to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 1025, The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Stillman & Company wishes you good luck, too. We're just not officially in a capacity to wish you good luck on that T-Mobile.
Just casually, informally wishing you the best of luck.
We will have Hal Gill. In 30 minutes, Hal Gill will join us on the program. His thoughts ahead of game number 3. Okay, though, it's time now for headlines. with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ian Rappaport released the details of Tim Tebow's contract today. He just recently signed a contract to be a tight end with the Jacksonville Jaguars with his former college coach Urban Meyer. So he signed a $920,000 contract, 1 year, no money guaranteed, and an injury split, which is the absolute minimum, which doesn't really make you feel any much better about him officially making the team. But that didn't deter people from buying Tim Tebow jerseys today. Tim, the top five most sold things, at jerseys, bags, T-shirts, hats, whatever it may be, the top five spots on the NFL Shop bestseller list today, all Tim Tebow merchandise.
Yeah. Do we think he's going to make the team? I was thinking about this today. Like, would Urban do all the hoopla if he was just going to cut him in a month? Like, would they really go through all the BS? Would they? Why?
I mean, I've asked myself, why has Urban Meyer done a lot of things the past month or so?
Well, I've asked myself that about Urban Meyer a lot. The history of Urban Meyer.
Yes. So I do think it's all about the hoopla. I do think they just like being in the media. And let me say, I know he doesn't care, but Trevor Lawrence was just the first overall pick, and will be the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and nobody is talking about it. Everyone is talking about Tim Tebow maybe potentially making the team. So I just think Urban Meyer likes being in the conversation. And I think that he just loves being around Tim Tebow so much that he's willing to throw money at him just to have him around.
So you think he's going to make the team?
I don't know. Like, do I think that he will be able to be an NFL-caliber tight end?
No.
No?
No, nobody thinks that.
But do I think he makes the team? Kinda.
Ian, you think he makes the team?
If he's already leading in jersey sales, if anything, it'll just be some type of promotional thing. So I'm going to say yes.
I think he makes the team. I don't think you do the hoopla if you're not going to put him on your team. And I think it's so bad for the NFL, and yet I think it's great for the Titans. So you know what? Go Tebow. I think it's so stupid. I think it sends all the wrong messages. But you know what? Can't bake their bread. I can only worry about mine.
That's true.
What's next?
That's true. So Don Mattingly, Marlins manager, was asked about no-hitters in baseball. So there have been 6 no-hitters so far this season in baseball. All-time record is 8, set in 1884. And we're already at 6, and it is May. Here is what Don Mattingly had to say about the no-hitters so far this season.
Oh, absolutely. If a guy throws a no-no, it's great for us. I'm just looking at, I'm talking about it more in the, you asked me if I thought about him.
Yeah.
These no-hitters, I think in general in the game, I think that's really more of the talk is that, you know, where does this get better? Because it's great for your team when a guy throws a no-no, it's great for that guy. It's a great accomplishment, right? Mm-hmm. But when there's so many, so early, you know, strikeouts are at an all-time high, things like that. So it tells you that there are some issues within the game that need to be addressed. And they're going to take a while because this started 15, 16 years ago with you know, the swing changes and the philosophy changes with all the, you know, the analytics of the 3-run homer and all that stuff. And so it's been coming and it's been building. And now we're at a point where I think it's getting so much more attention because it's just a game that sometimes is unwatchable. You know, you see guys you talk to and they don't even like watching games because there's nothing that goes on in them.
So in 1992, people don't totally remember this, but the reason the strike happened in 94 was because the TV deal that CBS signed, I believe in 89, was like football money for baseball. And CBS had an out and they took it. They were paying like $2 billion a year and they took it because they were losing money left and right on baseball. Mm-hmm. At that point, Pew Research did a poll about how much people enjoy football compared to baseball. And at that point in time in 1992, 3-1 preferred football to baseball. What would that number be today? 15-1, 20-1, 25-1? The truth is, Don Mattingly's right. It's going to take a long time because all these changes happen 15, 20 years. But it's longer than that. This is a 30-year disaster, and baseball's still going to make money. But, I mean, the sport has never been more dead in my life than it is now. These no-hitters are just so brutal for the game. And it's like nobodies are throwing them, too.
Right.
Like nobodies. Like, you know, next thing you know, you'll see Cody Eagy throwing a no-hitter. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, so baseball's had 30 years to correct it. They've taken the money every time. I don't think they'll change in any regard. So I think he's right, but it's not going to change.
No.
It's baseball. It's just baseball. No, you know, good luck, baseball.
And I would say I'm the overwhelming minority of people around my age who genuinely enjoy the game of baseball. Whenever I say, oh, I want to go to a baseball game, I'm watching a baseball game, so many people say, why? It's so boring. And I think that all of these no-hitters are contributing to that. I mean, batting averages are at an all-time low. Teams are averaging a little bit less than 8 hits a game. 8 hits a game.
It's boring.
Through a couple days ago. That's the second lowest mark in baseball history behind 1908.
It's boring.
It's at an all-time low, and it's really sad because baseball is such a great game.
Yeah,
I genuinely
love
baseball, but it's going down a really scary path. I fear for the future of it.
Think about the 2000s when, like, it was mainstream.
Long gone summer.
I mean, right
Mark
now,
Mark McGwire.
Fox cannot get baseball off its channel. It's like, hey, we want to put the ALCS on FS1. Like, they cannot get it off the TV fast enough. You think they'd ever do that to the NFL?
Never.
You think they'd ever say,
people
hey,
are
clawing like
to get NFL games.
You think the NFL would never let them put a game on FS1 ever. And so I get too worked up thinking about what's next.
So The Athletic released new power rankings today. They released them a few days ago and kind of restructured after the first few games in the playoffs. Carolina is number 4 in their power rankings. They said that Carolina just has an insane amount of depth that other teams just don't have. There are no Hurricanes that have 2 5-on-5 points, but 9 Hurricanes have at least 1 5-on-5 point. And all but 4 have positive expected goal rates. So just the number of guys that they have, just the go-to guys, almost their entire lineup is a go-to guy. And we've said that several times about the Predators, that there's no big boy forward. There's no go-to guy. Just pass him the puck and you know that he can make a goal. Carolina has a lot of those guys, and I think that that's the big difference between Carolina and the Predators.
So who's ahead of Carolina?
The Avalanche I know is number 1. And I can pull up the rest.
Carolina's pretty freaking good.
Carolina is pretty freaking good.
I have a hard time. I think they're going to put Tampa ahead of them because Tampa's beaten Florida in 2 games. So I'm guessing Tampa's probably ahead of them, and I'm guessing, I don't know, Vegas?
Vegas maybe.
Vegas,
Leafs,
didn't they
maybe
lose last night? So
Vegas tied their series, I think.
Okay. So, look, Carolina's good, man. Carolina's good. And that's why it's going to be even harder for the Predators to win this series. Those are headlines with Caroline. Hal Gill in less than 30 minutes. Coming up next, the 3 things we want to see from the Predators tonight, 3 things we do not want to see in game number 3. The Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5. The game, you will see that Happy Hiller logo right there smiling right at you when you watch the game tonight, right on that Bridgestone Arena ice, because Hiller, they're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. Tax credits for energy-efficient home systems are back this year. When you put Energy Star certified equipment in your home, you'll earn a tax credit with the IRS. This month, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is helping you keep more money in your pocket and doubling your tax credit when you purchase select new HVAC systems or tankless water heaters. And they're offering special financing so you make no payments, zero. No payments until next year. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be, or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.